About 180 people were arrested in New York City yesterday during protests marking the first anniversary of the Occupy Wall Street movement. Since those first demonstrations, the expression income inequality has become a phrase often used to describe today's economy. But there are places where this isn't an issue, where there's virtually no income inequality. Reporter Tracy Samuelson went to the town of Country Knolls in upstate New York that, according to the census, has the lowest income inequality of any neighborhood in the country.
If there's one person responsible for all the equality today in Country Knolls, it's a man who's actually been dead for more than two decades now, a real estate developer named Robert Van Patten.
Van Patten's a self-made man. He starts out as a radio repairman for Sears Roebuck.
Glen Valley is a lawyer. He's head of the Country Knolls Civic Association, and he's an unofficial area historian.
Van Patten was the type of person that if you asked him for a nail, he would give you a barrel. But if you stole a nail, he'd come after you.
Valley drives me through the winding wooded streets of his neighborhood, where, according to the Census Bureau, income inequality is the smallest of any place in the country. In this small neighborhood, there is no 99% versus 1%, no haves versus have-nots. Households here make a median income of $107,000 a year. So how did this happen?
Here's the original Country Knolls Street.
It all started back in 1964. Van Patten began building a development on what was then mostly farmland and rolling hills.
To the right here, not to the left. This actually
eventually, he built 1,300 homes here. Originally, they all had white siding and sold as fast as he could build them, with a handshake and a refundable $100 deposit. And they were all the same five models.
So, colonial, ranch.
Other colonial.
They're a good size, on half-acre lots at least. But they're certainly not McMansions.
You're looking at $300,000 homes, give or take.
Stephen Schmidt is a professor of economics at Union College, a small liberal arts school in Schenectady.
We are clearly in the burbs. But yeah, you notice a certain sameness about the housing stock? That creates a certain sameness of the people who move into them. They have enough money to afford these houses, but not enough money to go to something snazzier.
No one in Country Knolls lives below the poverty line, but the super rich don't live here either. So what do people here actually do?
You like dogs? Lainey, sit. Come on in.
Dawn Coletta and her family moved to Country Knolls in early 2011 to a colonial that's twice the size of their old house in Long Island. It has original Van Patten light switches and a mural of the sky in the updated kitchen. When I asked to interview her for this story, she did a little Googling before we spoke.
I told my husband the income that I saw, it was like $107,000. We're under that. He goes, well, I guess we're under average, you know, so.
Dawn's husband makes $90,000 a year as a repairman for Verizon. Her neighbor also worked at Verizon and is now retired.
It's just funny. I go, oh, we really are like Stepford wives. Yeah. Everybody's the same.
Actually, everyone I meet in Country Knolls insists they really aren't all that much alike. It's not a company town. There are lawyers and state workers, young couples and retirees. But they do have some pretty striking similarities that go beyond just income. 95% are white, 77% are married, nearly 98% own their homes. Of course, it's not unusual to see people grouped together by income or background at the neighborhood level. It's the way we build housing, says Schmidt, the economist.
Only in an old city where there are pre-established housing patterns do you see housing for rich people and housing for poor people right next to each other.
Schmidt says this kind of income segregation means more tax dollars for one town over another, which can mean better services, better schools, better opportunities for children who grew up in these towns. And when kids grow up surrounded by people just like them, they tend to think everyone else is just like them, too. Schmidt says he sees this firsthand when he asks his economic students how much money they think a typical U.S. household might make.
If they grew up in a suburban wealthy neighborhood, they guess $100,000 or $150,000. If they grew up in a really tony neighborhood, they guess $200,000, which are way off, way off.
Median household income is actually around $50,000.
Hello, I'm Mrs. Dickman. I'm Melissa.
Two doors down from Dawn Coletta is the white colonial Joanne and Fred Dickman bought in 1970 for maybe $40,000.
At the time, I think I'll never forget things like that, but I do.
They moved to Country Knolls for Fred's job at General Electric, about 20 minutes away. And in 2001, they sold the house to their daughter, Melissa Eller, and her husband. He works for the state lottery. She works part-time at the local public school.
I wouldn't say we're lower middle class. I wouldn't say we're upper middle class. I would just say we're middle class.
I asked Melissa and her parents if they think they missed out on anything by living and raising children in a place with so much sameness. I actually asked this question of lots of people in Country Knolls, and everyone said basically no. There's a certain quality of life here. They wouldn't trade the sense of community, the character of the neighborhood, the good schools. Here's Fred, Melissa's father.
Maybe it's boring to some people, but it's all pretty much the same, and I like it.
For WNYC, I'm Tracy Samuelson.